Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hi, this is Annabelle Gurwitch, and it's been a life dream of mine to be considered story-worthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. And today's story is brought to us from actress and author Annabelle Gurwitch. Now, Annabelle's story tonight is called The Lipstick Effect, and she's talking a lot about makeup counters. And if you're another woman out there, then you know about makeup counters. And you know about, like, the free gifts, and you know how expensive it is, and you know how they suck you in. And it's so, I don't know. I mean, now I'm old, and so it doesn't affect me the way it used to. But when I was, like, in college, 18, 19, 20, 21, I mean, I was so sucked in by that. And, like, the promise of, like, a special cream or a lotion or a makeup. I mean, I still like that. I still like that stuff. But now I kind of, you know, I'm on top of what's going on. But Annabelle's story just nails it on the head. You guys are really going to love it. Before we bring her on, I did want to mention to you guys that you can follow Storyworthy on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And why not head over to our website, storyworthypodcast.com, before you shop on Amazon? You see, that works out for both of us, right? Because you click on the ad, you support the show, right? And then, you know, you feel my love coming at you. Do you feel that love? Do you feel it? All right, you guys, enjoy the story, The Lipstick Effect, from Annabelle Gurwitch. Annabelle Gurwitch, you guys, as you know, she is an actress and the author of the New York Times bestselling book, I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50. It is such a funny, funny, incredible book, I'm telling you, not just because she's my friend. She is amazing. And, you know, she was also one of the three finalists for the James Thurber Prize for American Humor Writing in 2015. The New York Times says Annabelle Gurwitch is a funny woman. At the center of the book is a serious question. How are we supposed to age? And she convincingly argues that there is no longer a template. You guys have got to read I See You Made an Effort. It's one of Kirkus's Review's 10 books guaranteed to make you laugh. And you can find Annabelle at her website, AnnabelleGurwitch.com, and on Twitter at Annabelle Gurwitch, A-N-N-A-B-E-L. All right, without further ado, here she is, Annabelle Gurwitch.
I've gotten dressed up. Dressed up to walk into a store. I've assembled my most fashionable outfit to ensure that I will be treated with deference by people who are being paid to take my money. I'm wearing one of my corporate board meeting ensembles, a pinstriped wool skirt in chocolate paired with a coffee-colored cashmere sweater. I purchased these investment pieces back when brown was going to be the new black and money was lubricated, back before everyone in America was vying for minimum wage jobs just to stay underemployed. Two holes in the sweater are located at the waist, a small conciliatory gesture, perhaps, from the closet moths that are waging a war against my wardrobe. I have cleverly placed a belt over the offending area, and I'm striding past the alluring displays of expensively packaged products, hoping that the crazy glued soles of my decades-old Miu Miu's will hold for the brief amount of time it will take to run this errand. I have an entrance and an exit strategy planned. It will be surgical, just like the U.S. involvement in Afghanistan. I've come for a concealer. I've written down the manufacturer, product name, and number so I don't make a mistake and purchase the incorrect shade. This product not only promises to restore the under-eye area to a refreshing brightness, but just might be the key to my, if not looking younger, then just the best version of myself. I approach the least intimidatingly attractive salesperson on the floor. She has a sweet, open, honest face, and she's either Mexican or Eastern European. I can't place her accent because it's hard to hear her voice over my inner monologue. I've got a list. I repeat like a mantra, stick to the list, stick to the list. But before I can stop myself, I've announced to her that I am turning 50 this year. The admission of my age is an invitation for her to tell me how great I look. This is terrible because I know that she knows that the better she tells me I look, the more she'll be able to sell me. This is a directly proportional equation that has played out with increasing frequency over the last months. Marta, maybe, tells me she's 45. She confides that she's been using an amazing fruit exfoliant that makes her skin glow and that she always gets compliments when she uses it. The one thing I don't need is a scrub, I say firmly, but you do look great. And now we're the best of girlfriends. We compare diets, and although I regularly lie awake wondering whether the hormones that I'm taking are speeding me towards an early demise or just slowly poisoning my inner organs, I'm speaking with authority when I say she needs to take both estrogen and progesterone, as well as massive doses of vitamin D and calcium. But standing at the corner at Barney's, I feel compelled to pass along my limited and flawed understanding of the subject to Marta, and Marta dutifully nods as I fill her in. Then I pull out my list, and I read off the product number I've come to replace. The liquid concealer that I've come for is so expensive. It costs the exact same amount per ounce as Beluga caviar. Clay Depot's Silky Cream Foundation B20 Glow, spelled G-L-O, runs $120 an ounce. For that price, you would think they could afford the W. No, wait, it's so chic, it doesn't need to be spelled correctly. I notice a second number on the label as well, $3,500. Could that be the dollar amount they predict users will spend in a lifetime? Probably. While she reaches to retrieve it, I look down at the lipsticks, and I see that the Sunburst lip gloss really does have a warm glow. The Tropic of Nectar blush is so peachy, and its name might even be a nod to Henry Miller. And the Terracotta lip liner is sort of a perfect shade. And 6,906 miles away, the Greek economy is collapsing. And 5,457 miles away, 20,000 public sector workers are protesting in London, and 16.3 miles across town, my son is ordering a $3 public school lunch with ingredients most of the mothers in my zip code, mothers who made better choices in the first 40 of the 49 years of their lives, would never allow inside the bodies of their precious offspring. But my child will eat because I cannot afford a private school where sushi is being served in individual bento boxes. But the air in Barney's smells like chilled citrus, gardenias, and clean sheets. So if you farted, no one would ever know, because it is practically a wind tunnel wafting freshness your way. And the floor is so clean you could not only eat off it, you could probably perform a liver transplant. So I hear myself saying, I'll take three extra items that were not on the list. I shouldn't be doing this because I'm on the declining side of my earning capacity. It's possible that I will earn less money in the remaining part of my life than I have made until this point altogether. I am earning less. I have less time in which to spend it. And yet, I need more money. Much more money. And sure, given all of that, I should not be handing over my credit card. As I reach for my card, I mentally review the list of things I have never been able to, nor will ever afford, now that I am a slave to my face. I have never owned a second home. I don't really own my first home, mortgaged as it is, to be honest. Never flown in a private plane, never holidayed in Turks and Caicos. Had to look up the spelling of Turks and Caicos. And the likelihood that I will ever travel to Turks and Caicos is so remote that I'm not even sure where it's located. though I am aware it's a spectacularly Tony destination where a vacationer's effluence gets whisked away swiftly but flows untreated into the surrounding waters where it's caused degradation to the endangered coral reefs. I've never purchased a designer handbag, never hired an interior decorator, or eaten at a Wolfgang Puck restaurant when I was paying. I've also never lived through a genocide, walked across Africa, or licked newspapers for nutritional value like Frank McCourt, although I was once tempted to lick a positive review in the New York Times. I have first world problems. I know this, but they are still my first world problems. And it turns out that growing up in a solidly middle-class family, working at minimum wage jobs, volunteering at soup kitchens and your kid's school does not completely inoculate you from the lure of luxury. And it's not that I want any one of these extravagances or that I think any one of these things will make me happy, but there's something about knowing that I will probably never have them that's not unlike how devastatingly sad I felt when I realized the window for having children had closed forever. But as I hand over my credit card and Marta repeats that she really wants to show me that scrub, I am holding the line at the outermost layer of my epidermis. It's like Vietnam. Must not cross the 17th parallel. No, I'm fine. But do you have any samples of moisturizers? I say, as the realization sinks in that I have spent over $200 in less than 2 minutes. I must not leave Barney's without receiving something free, and moisturizers are the holy grail of all facial products. I have spent so much money, I deserve samples, damn it. But she doesn't want to give me a sample. No, Marta is going to personally make a sample for me. And I watch intently as she scoops a minuscule amount of vanilla pudding-like substance into the tiniest plastic container in the known world. Shuddering as I think about the factory that produces these miniature pods, I say a silent prayer that they're not sorted by tiny hands of child workers. And I promise myself that I will reuse them when traveling. And I try to make my features appear interested when she recites the anti-aging qualities of this particular elixir, though I know perfectly well I have no intention of ever purchasing it. Depositing the tiny treasure into my purse, I move towards the door, but she is following me and subtly blocks my exit, positioning herself by another counter, manned by a slightly more mature version of herself. Marta tells me that her colleague, older Marta, will show me that fruit exfoliant now, cornered. Matronly Marta takes my right hand and begins rubbing a fruit exfoliant on my skin. It's mango or pomegranate or watermelon, and she's massaging this cucumber or papaya, or was it sweet potato? I have no idea because the circular motion is starting to make me feel nauseous, and she keeps scrubbing, and for some reason, the skin on my hand looks brighter, shinier. How did she do that? It's only $50, she tells me with an inflection that suggests that she's just told me she's handing me $50. Oh, that's a bargain, I hear myself say in agreement. Only $50. It's made by a doctor in New York. She tells me in the same voice that my grandmother used to describe men who were good marriage material. A doctor. Marta says, tell her about the deal she can get. They're double teaming me now. It's 2-1. If you spend $200, you get this bottle of oxygenated harmonized water for free. My grandmother, Rebecca from Minsk, would have liked the sound of that water. In the summers during the 1940s, our entire clan traveled by Greyhound bus from where they had settled in Mobile, Alabama, a few hours to the north, to take the waters at Healing Springs. The Muskegee people had purportedly visited this site for centuries, where the mineral water was said to cure everything from dyspepsia to eczema. You would not only bathe in the springs, you'd drink it as well. Like most immigrants at the time, my grandmother expected a lot of value from everything you purchased. She was a dedicated user of Nivea cold cream in the blue tin, both as a cleanser and a deep moisturizer. On the sleepovers at her house, my sister Lisa and I could recognize the mentholated smell from her bedroom when she'd slather it on as a mask. We would cover our faces with the heavy pudding, marveling at how, even after you washed it off, your skin would still feel wet, slippery. But will this harmonized water keep my vagina from being so dry? I blurt out. The Martas look at me blankly. I was joking, I say. JK, as the kids say, just joking. But they just stare at me. And I know I will be going home with Dr. Colbert's intensifying facial discs because they don't know me or my sense of humor because I said dry vagina and because she spent so much time on my hand. This time, the financial exchange is silent and swift. In that moment, I recall shopping when I was a kid. My mother holding her breath as each credit card she'd hand over would have to be tried before a sale could be completed. I would look around, hoping no friends from school were there to witness that transaction. Either that or I would will myself to become invisible. At 49, I've discovered that age gifts you with invisibility in all but monetary transactions. I have it covered. Barely. Cash extracted, I leave. Arriving home, I rush upstairs past my teenage son. I'm working on a deadline, I yell down to him, which is sort of true. I immediately strip off my clothing and step into the shower, pushing aside the upside-down bottles of shampoo. I carefully place this jar labeled Daily Nutrition for the Skin next to the one marked Transdermal Bioenergized Resurfacing Solution, which I purchased only a few weeks earlier. I take out a facial disc and I begin scrubbing my left hand, wondering how many of the 2 million American women born the same year as me are doing something similar at that very moment. After only a few circular motions, it's clear I simply have dirty hands. I am an idiot. Brown was never going to be the new black. I scrub my face hard. Remove another disc. It's more scouring than scrubbing at this point, applying so much pressure that terracotta-colored capillaries appear on the thinning skin around my nostrils. Thank God I bought that concealer, I think, as I head down to heat up a frozen pizza for dinner. Marta must be home by now as well. Marta, whose real name I may never know because I, too, have worked service jobs under a slave name, is probably heating up the casserole she made yesterday from scratch. She's boiling corn and steaming greens for her kids. Marta, who is actually 29 in all probability, didn't need my lecture on hormones and vitamin D. She probably read the latest research and smartly decided to skip them all. And I hope she's working on commission because she deserves it.
All right, you guys, did she nail it or what? Does that not nail the feeling of a makeup counter in one of those stores? I've still never been to Barney's, actually. I'm going to go there someday. You'll see. But I don't think I'm going to buy that stuff. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank our storyteller one more time, Annabelle Gurwitch. Again, you can find her at our website, annabellegurwitch.com, and follow her on Twitter at Annabelle with one L, Gurwitch. And why not tweet Annabelle? Let her know how much you loved her story on Storyworthy. And you can follow me there as well at Storyworthy. And if you're really feeling kind, why not head over to iTunes and leave Storyworthy a good review and check out past episodes of Storyworthy as well with my dear friend, Hannes Finney. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a story by comedian Matt Knutson.
The helicopter lands, you know, the little stairs come out. There's the Marine there at the base of the stairs. Obama gives him the salute and walks into the White House. And we were all just kind of like standing there like, that was so cool.
Again, don't miss Matt Knutson next week on Storyworthy. I want to thank everyone here at Wondery today, including our sound engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. And on behalf of our storyteller today, Annabelle Gurwitch, my good friend Annabelle Gurwitch, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.